sing if you're ready to care. Oh, let's talk power, let's talk speed. Hosted by the one and only We2Deep. Turn it up loud, feel the power in your seat. This is Slapping Me, yeah, Slapping Me.
What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We2Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. And I don't know how long this one's going to go. This week has been a hot one. It's been a hot one. It is hotter than the NXT women's roster in North Carolina. We ain't chugging bottles of water. We're chugging gallons of water. It is hot. This is that digging up them holes, digging them type heat out here in North Carolina. And I know it's going everywhere. I saw Boston was at 101 today. Bro, this is crazy. So grab your favorite bevy. Make sure it's a cold one, because we got a hot heat wave coming through. But we also got a hot show coming. But before we get to all of that, I want to thank everyone for tuning in again. If you haven't joined the Discord page, that link is in the description. That's the most important thing. That's where the discussion of the episode, as well as the episodes of Raw, NXT, and if you watch SmackDown, that happens as well. But if you also watch AEW, we could potentially have conversations about AEW if we get enough AEW fans in the group. So that Discord link is in the description page, part of the episode. Let's dive on in with our opening thoughts of the week, and we're gonna start with, I mentioned the Discord, because it's not just a Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. We have the Beyond the Junkyard Podcast also, you know, represented in the Discord page as part of the real wrestling community. Junkyard James, who runs that podcast, he, on the show he records on Saturdays, he does a thing what he calls smash or pass, right? It started out as sort of like a baddie of the week, you know, post, you know, the best wrestling baddies, and I'll rank them type thing. And it went from ranking to where he's more so doing like a smash or pass type thing. But this is like a trend in social media. Like YouTube content creation is like a smash or pass type thing. Here's what I've seen though, right? Here's what I've seen, not just with James, but also with a lot of the other people who are doing this type of stuff, is every single person that is submitted or that is rated is smashable, you know, 8 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s, 10 out of 10s, right? Now, I'm all about preference, right? I'm all about preference, right? If you look at the thumbnail of this episode, right? If you look at the thumbnail of this episode, I put a few people on this thumbnail that James has passed on or will pass on probably in the future. All people that I have submitted, right? Jade Cargill, Stephanie Vodker, Lyra Valkyria, there's a woman on there, a wrestler named Nikki Blackheart, who I submitted for this week. So I'm interested to see what his take. I already know what his take's going to be, right? And then there's the WWE Espanol reporter. Can't think of her name off the top of my head. Give me 30 seconds to find it. I know it's Andrea. I can't think of her last name off the top of my head. But if you give me 30 seconds, I can find it. And anyway, her name is Andrea Bazarte. Andrea Bazarte from WWE Espanol. Right? All of those women have been passed on. All of those women are smashable women, right? So I get the whole point of the game is, or my understanding of the game Smash or Pass, is I get shown somebody and I off rip Smash or Pass, right? And so what's weird about passing on these women is that a lot of these people, they take smashable women and they say, no, I'm going to pass on this one. Right. Now, I understand preference. Right. So someone like a Jay Cargill, someone like Nikki Blackheart is going to be seen as too masculine, too muscular. And I understand not having a preference for that type of woman. Right. I have a preference, you know, with like Rhea Ripley, where like Rhea Ripley's beautiful, but you add all the tattoos and now less attractive. Right. And I've talked about it. I fully understand the idea of preference. But if Jade Cargill, and this was my question, if Jade Cargill walked up to one of these people who are saying pass on Jade Cargill, if Jade Cargill walked up to somebody, right, walked up to you and said, you could smash, I'll give you one night free pass, my husband Brandon Phillips, ex-baseball player, has given me a free pass for the night. You have this one opportunity, you could smash if you want. You're gonna pass on Jade Cargill. If someone like Lyra Valkyria, who obviously has very low standards, seeing who her fiance is, and her fiance is not like the biggest looker in the world, right? I definitely think she could do better, right? She stays long enough in WWE. One of the guys that are attractive would marry her, right? But she's fallen in love with her high school, you know, childhood sweetheart. And that's all. That's a wonderful story. Not trying to break that up or nothing. But you're telling me Lyra Valkyria, who everyone puts in as like the weird girl next door. James called her best friend cute. Whatever that means. I have zero idea what the hell best friend cute means. I asked him this question. You mean to tell me if Lyra Valkyria walked up to you and said, I'll give you, you have one night free pass, 100% consensual. You could smash if you want. And he's like, oh, no, okay, cool. If I got one night with her, we'll go out for pizza and a movie or something like that. I mean, no, big dog. I'm asking you if she gave you the chance to, don't pretend like you're going to say no. If someone gave you the chance to smash, right? And that's the problem that I have with this game. It isn't the objectification of women. Because I think a lot of the women objectify themselves. And so you can't cry objectification when you're the one objectifying yourself. That's just logic. But that isn't my issue. My issue is the logic inconsistency between the people rating, right? And so James will take someone like Steph DeLander, which I'm not going to say is the ugliest person in the world, but she's definitely not as attractive as Stephanie Vaquer. Just not in the same realm. She's not on the same level as Jade Cargill. She's not on the same level as Lyra Valkyria. And he's going to triple double smash her. Treat her like a queen. But he's going to pass on other women. Right? You know, he passed on Stevie Turner, which is absolutely insane. He passed on Ava and people. Like, I get it. You have preferences. It seems weird that your preferences seem to coincide, that you pass on everyone that I promote, that I submit. You know, Lainey Reed is beautiful, like Southern Belle, passed on, right? Andrea Bazarte, Latina Heat. Muy bonita. Muy bonita. And you're going to pass on her? That's crazy. And the reason for passing on her is absolutely, he submitted, the picture he submitted is the LinkedIn headshot picture. Okay, yeah, you know, the reason that WWE uses those is because you tend to dress up for those pictures, right? You put on the makeup, you put on the best clothes, you have the best look. It's the professional headshot, right? And like if you're going to judge solely based on, well, this is the LinkedIn photo, and because it's the LinkedIn photo, I'm going to pass. That's absolutely insane. That's absolutely insane. And so my critique is not that he's doing it. My critique is not that these people do. My critique is that it's just not consistent, right? It's about as fake as Natalia's titties. None of it is real. You're trying to show off for the boys. He's gonna pass on every girl that's posed in some sort of slutty, you know, whore pose. And I'm not afraid to say it because that's what it is, right? A lot of these women get on Instagram. They you know, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but they get on Instagram. They promote their OnlyFans. They pose in what would traditionally be slutty prostitute whore pick like poses. The porn poses that get these simps who fall for that and melt for that type of stuff, right? It's just not realistic, right? Let's just be realistic. If Jay Cargill walked up to me today and said, "You got one shot," right? The dog in me, the natural, like the side of me, the human nature side of me, would say absolutely, without a doubt, if it's consensual, let's do it. Where are we going? You're paying for the hotel because I'm broke, all capital letters. But so, right, if that's how you're going to play the game, play consistently, right? Now, obviously, in real life, when people do have a morality system, I'll be honest with you, if Lyra Valkyria walked up to me and said, "Hey, you could smash if you want," the moral side of me that knows right or wrong would say, "No, you're engaged. I'm not going to break up that relationship," right? The moral side would say no, right? But the that's why I say the natural side, the dog in me, right, would absolutely say yes. And I'm not going to pretend like I wouldn't. Even with the girls that James posted, I'm not necessarily the biggest fans of, a Steph Delander. Right. The dog in me would say yes, 100%. If she came up to me, not my right. If there were no morality involved in this, right, in that vacuum where morality doesn't play a factor in it. Absolutely. Without 100% of the doubt, there hasn't been a person submitted in his pass or smash page on the Discord that I wouldn't say yes to. There hasn't been. Right. You pass on. I submitted a picture of Tessa Blanchard, and I know he loves Tessa Blanchard, but because it's a screenshot of her in the ring, a high quality screenshot, by the way. Oh, well, I'm going to pass on it because of the type of photo it is. Just tell me you want bikini photos, big dog. That's all. That's my point. Right. So we'll move on. The next little opening thing that I want to talk about is I believe Tony Khan has conned the IWC into believing that WWE is back again, right? They run this Mexico show on the way to All In. They promote big numbers, you know, viewerships up, big show, sellout crowd in Mexico. But just like when they went to London for All In 2 years ago, I'm going to use the same logic because it's the same thing. You're using a one-off event that does zero for your domestic growth in the States you're using that as a justification that the product is good. And it's not. He's conning the IWC. He's making the show feel better. There's a fake manufactured buzz around AEW. Big numbers on Dynamite, full arena. Look how good we're doing. Guys, you went to Mexico. It was going to sell out. You ran a CMLL show in Mexico. It was going to sell out. What did you think was going to happen? Right? Now, if you could do the same thing and fill that many people into an arena every single week in the United States for the rest of the bill to All In, then maybe we could talk about something, right? But you basically ran a super show, and then you're sitting here, oh, we beat NXT. Yeah, you beat NXT with a super show by less than 100,000 people with a super show, right? There's a fake buzz around AEW right now that needs to be called out. Tony Khan is conning the IWC into believing that this buzz is real, but it's all fake and manufactured. I talked about OnlyFans earlier. Nixon Noel, formerly known as Tegan Knox, has put herself on the OnlyFans, joining a long list of former WWE wrestlers who have joined the platform. Pretty soon, they could run their own women's division and have their own wrestling company on OnlyFans with the amount of women who are joining the company, promoting their barely clad pictures, right? And we've already talked about my feelings on OnlyFans in the past. And we're not going to go really down that route again. Yeah, there seems to be a trend, and it's not a good positive trend for culture, where you get fired from WWE, and so like Nixon Newell was actually in the news, in wrestling news, because apparently she hasn't been able to find bookings. Two things. Well, when you talk shit about WWE, it's going to be hard to find bookings. But second, you weren't that good in the first place. You were wildly exposed in WWE for being not so good of a talent. And you're wildly, wildly injury prone. Of course you're not going to get booking. So what's the next step? You go get a 9-to-5 somewhere, work a normal job like the rest of us human beings? No. OnlyFans. That's the next step, right? That's where everyone goes to try to promote themselves. And I'm all for being sexy and being proud of it. But it just feels like women, not just in wrestling, but just in society, women have sort of settled on being okay with selling their bodies and themselves as objects. And men aren't going to tell them no, right? Because, again, the natural man, like the natural side of men, want that type of product. And I'm typically a free market, person. Like, typically, if there's a market for a product, I'm all for that product. But when the product tends to be detrimental to society, I think we have a responsibility to protect each other from that product. So for example, cocaine is a danger to society, right? Therefore, we have a responsibility to make sure that cocaine is never legal and should not be sold on the shelf, right? This one's going to be controversial, but the more research we're getting from states like California and Colorado, who have legalized marijuana for about a decade or more, the more research we're getting, the less that it looks like a net benefit to to the states. If you look at the state of Colorado, this was a state that at one point of time, at one time before legalizing marijuana, was a beautiful state. And now you just have druggies everywhere. You have people who are just stoned out of their mind, and it's caused a lot more negative impact than, right? A lot of people who aren't a big fan of it tend to stay away. I know they were trying to legalize it in Florida, and Florida fought against it because they've taken a look at what it's done to California, what it's done to Colorado, what it's done to Michigan. And it hasn't been a net positive the way a lot of people tend to think that there is a net positive, right? And so I would say we have the evidence now that it's a net negative. Therefore, it is our responsibility as humans to make sure that we protect each other from ourselves. And I would say the same thing with OnlyFans, that sure, there's a market for it, but it's a net negative on society. Therefore, we should stand up against net negatives. We should want to do everything we can to create the most productive society that we can. Whether or not you have the right to do something doesn't mean that it's necessarily right to do something, right? And so that's where I'll stay on there. I told you this is going to be a short episode, right? A lot of that is because we're moving into what would typically be Raw thoughts, right? My thoughts on Monday Night Raw. And I'm going to be honest with you, I turned the show off at 9:30. I lost every ounce of interest I had in that show by 9:15. And so I'll talk about wrestling as a whole real quick. I just feel like at this point in 2025, wrestling is absolutely just mind-numbingly boring. Neither company, talking WWE or AEW, is interested in telling quality stories consistently. It's all just the same mumbo jumbo. Let me give an example. And what we really, my main takeaway from Raw is this is about the Seth Rollins faction, right? We've gotten zero what I would call why information. No group name, no motivation for anyone but Seth Rollins, who just wants the world championship. We don't know why Bronson Reed joined the group. We don't know why Bron Breakker joined the group. We don't have a name for it. We don't know why Paul Heyman turned on Roman Reigns and CM Punk to join Seth Rollins. We don't have a lot of motivational information that leads to character depth. And so what we get is just a bunch of the same segments every week. We got two beefy guys who like to beat people up, and a guy who sees himself as a visionary and architect and a basically a cult leader, followed by a yes man named Paul Heyman who just goes wherever the money is. Right? That's the character depth we have, and that's not a lot, right? We don't have a story depth. We don't know where this is ultimately really leading to. And at this point, I'm just bored with this story. There was a lot of potential after WrestleMania, and you've killed any interest that I've had in this faction. And this was one of the main things on Raw that I had any interest in, right? There was a joke James made when I said I was turning the show off because I was bored. He said, well, anything that's not Stephanie Vaquer, you're bored with. And that's not necessarily true, but it's not necessarily wrong either. At least Stephanie Vaquer gives me something to look at, right? Like, that show is absolutely boring week in and week out. There's zero legitimate storytelling. Because WWE has gotten into this cycle of promoting multiple events at the same time, and so we're promoting Evolution, and we're promoting Night of Champions, and we're promoting Saturday Night's Main Event, and we're promoting Great American Bash, but we're not really building Great American Bash because that's an NXT show, but we're promoting Evolution, and we're promoting Saturday night's main event, but nothing has really been confirmed for those events. But we also got a book, the Saudi show Night of Champions, because that thing's coming up. But and so instead of booking from show to show, you have three or four different shows being booked for right now, and nothing is good. Nothing is making any storyline sense. You have to start something 1 week. You don't get a continuation of that story for 2 or 3 weeks. And so nothing is interesting. And so you just have a boiling pot of boring, right? And you have a couple good wrestling matches from Penta on Mondays and Phoenix on Fridays, and the tag team division is somewhat entertaining with the wrestling matches, but there's no storyline leading anything to any, you know, good place in the story. You're trying to build the Evolution, but no matches have actually been built. Nothing has really started to interact with each other as far as Evolution and what we're going to get with that PLE. And so, right, the only big thing we've really talked about was Saturday night's main event, which is about, you know, about 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, is Goldberg versus Gunther, and that's going to be the heavy hitter for that basically a house show of an event that I'm more than likely not going to watch. And what you get out of that is absolutely nothing, right? You get a big surprise every now and then, like Gunther winning the title, which keeps people, you know, interested in the show, because you never, you know, right, you promote Raw and SmackDown to be bigger than they should be, and then you disappoint with the show itself. You have a consistent string of 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 Monday Night Raws and SmackDowns, and it's not great, it's not bad. Like, at least if the show was 2016 to 2019 Vince McMahon booking bad, where there was something to actually complain about, then there would be something to talk about. But we get the string of just absolutely boring. There's nothing to talk about. And it's got me wondering, like, why do I waste 7 hours a week watching wrestling when I'm not thoroughly, there's a lot more things I could spend my time doing. If y'all know me, time is the most important thing to me. Time is the only currency that you can't get back once you've spent it, right? So if I'm going to give of my time, I'm going to expect to get something that's worth what I'm paying, right? In reality, I've just lost interest in the world of pro wrestling. And a lot of times people blame it on, well, this is that lull in between Mania and SummerSlam. I'm being honest with you. I think that's a cop out. I think that gives Triple H a pass. Triple H should be able to keep me interested every single Monday, every single Friday, every single PLE. If he just focused on one PLE at a time, rather than trying to build up these super shows, right? And if he booked Monday Night Raw is the way weekly television should be booked, where nothing important really happens, where you just build up storylines and you build plot points and you build the tension, and then you get to a Night of Champions and you have that conclusion at the PLE. That's what the PLEs are meant for. But instead, like, you have the name Premium Live Event, but there's nothing premium about it, because title matches also happen on Raw, so those are premium events. And then you have Saturday Night Main Event, but those aren't premium live events. Those are national TV specials, but they have premium stuff. So there's nothing special about the premium live events. And so all of the shows start to feel the same level of boring. I'm be honest with you. We have Night of Champions this week, supposedly. And we'll do our predictions for that on Friday, just to make sure no other changes to the card take place. But I'm not even interested. Like, that show's an afternoon show because it is in Saudi. It's a noon Eastern time start time. And part of me, first off, doesn't even care that I'm going to miss it. And the other part of me doesn't even really want to go home and watch it. And so, yeah, I'm just absolutely, I have zero interest in anything that happens at that show. And what's going to happen is, because it's a PLE, Triple H is going to have some sort of maybe a potential cash in or some big guy return or something. Maybe fucking Sami Zayn gets blown up because of, you know, that's a joke. Please don't take that serious. Someone's going to try to cancel me. But, you know, there's just nothing really, like, even with having Stephanie Vaquer and having Lyra Valkyria and all of that going on, like, I like them as characters, as this is nothing to hold my interest even on Monday Night Raw anymore. Right. It's almost like my drive home yesterday, I was like, oh, I have to watch Monday Night Raw. And then I turned it on and I'm like, this is a waste of my time. I could be doing 1,000 other things right now. So that's my number one complaint, not just about WWE, but about all of wrestling, is there's just no level of consistency. There's no level of competent booking and storytelling. And as someone who cares about the story, that is why I'm bored. If you love good wrestling matches, you're probably the most excited person in the world when it comes to pro wrestling, right? But when you're like me and you care about storyline, there's nothing for me to hold on to, right? All right, so we're going to move on to what's probably going to be the longest portion of this episode, and this comes from a prompt from Kara that she sent to me that says, you have to book, you know, you're going to pitch a show to Netflix. It has to have two normal actors, two Raw, two SmackDown, two NXT superstars. What's the show? What's the point? What's the characters? Like, pitch it to, as if I'm pitching it to Netflix. And so the show that I would create, like, immediately jumped to my mind was, like, we need, like, a Sons of Anarchy meets Sopranos meets Breaking Bad type TV show, right? And we're gonna do a lot better than, you know, a total of 8 characters. No, we got 58 characters. I got this thing on lock, big dog, right? I went a little bit overboard, right, when I booked this. And so here's the premise. The show is called Bloodlines, and it's a story of, we'll create a fiction, I don't have a fictional city name, but fictional city. It's broken down into 6, basically, zones. And the zones are run, each zone is run by a different gang or group, club, whatever you want to call them, right? And so I don't necessarily have, like, a full, like, plot, right? The way that my brain works with this is, I'll create the title. I'll create the characters. I'll get that started. So someone hire me a writer who could write a script and can flesh out the plot, and we can make something happen here, right? So let me tell you these characters. So we're going to go family by family or gang by gang. So we'll start with the Italians, you know, on the north side, your mafia type stuff, right? The Bellucci family. Right. And so when we go through, I'm going to go over the name of the family or the name of the gang, each of the characters, what and then who they're played by. Right. And then every gang, right, in every one of these crime shows, every gang has a front, right? That's sort of like a legal business that hides the illegal stuff going on. Right. So we'll go through all of that. Right. So the Bellucci family, their front, the Bellissimo Ristorante and a Vino Lounge, a high-end Italian restaurant and private cigar room with a hidden back office for meetings, also runs a catering business that launders money. The basement is occasionally used for storage. Well, this is the Bellucci family. So the main character, the main Don of the family here, that's Antonio Papati Bellucci. Well, that's played by Tony D'Angelo, right? We're literally just going to take his wrestling character, spice it up a little bit, and put it on here. So who's the rest of his, right? So Papati is the old school boss. He's the Don, right? Well, his right-hand man, a little bit loyal, a little bit fiery. Well, that's Chase Romano, right? He's played by Stax Lorenzo, right? His lawyer and consigliere. Well, we know where that's going if you watch NXT. That's Luigi Viscardi, played by Luca Crucifino, right? You got Tony's niece, the seductive manipulator. That's Ariana Grace. Right, her character name is Ariana Bellucci. Then you got Papa T's cousin, Giuliana or Gia Bellucci, the enforcer. Right, that's played by Adriana Rizzo, Miss Rizzo. Right, so there's your Bellucci family. Right, the next faction, you got the Faasa Syndicate. They own Faasa Shipping and Freight, a legitimate import-export business operating on the city's busiest ports. Containers go in and out without questions. Some hold electronics. Others hold less legal goods. The docks are their territory. The Don, or the king of this syndicate, is Leone Faasa, or King Leo. Cold and quiet. Portrayed by Roman Reigns. You got Makoa Faasa, the former Don, who ends up getting into politics. That's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You got Julius and Jonah Faasa, some enforcers, right? Played by the Usos. Sione Faasa, the top enforcer of the syndicate. That's played by Solo Sikoa. You got Tama Fatu, the unpredictable wild cousin, played by Jacob Fatu. Kimo Faasa, the elder statesman who's deeply respected, portrayed by Rikishi. And Lani Faasa, the chief of security and respected killer of the group, portrayed by Tamina. The next group we got Los Reyes del Barrio. Right, so you got Italian, you got Samoan, now you got Hispanic, right? Their front. Barrio Dream Auto Customs, a streetwide auto body shop specializing in luxury mods and lowriders. They deal drugs, weapons, and money launder out of the back. Also host underground car shows to keep loyalty high. Well, the boss of this group, that's Diego Marquez. Polished and dangerous, portrayed by Damian Priest. The retired boss, Elias Reyes, portrayed by Rey Mysterio. The future heir that's torn between legacy and loyalty, Julian Reyes, portrayed by Dominic Mysterio. Sophia Cruz, strategic and stylish consigliere, portrayed by Selena Vega. You got the deadly street assassin, Valeria Montoya, portrayed by Stephanie Vaquer. And you got your enforcers that do field commanding and tacticals and intelligence. That's Rafael de la Sambra, portrayed by Santos Escobar. Christian Del Valle, portrayed by Cruz del Toro. And Luis Castaneda, portrayed by Joaquin Wild. All right, now you got your Celtic Brotherhood. Their front, O'Shea's Pub, or Public House. That's what pub stands for if you didn't know that. O'Shea's Public House, a chain of rowdy Irish pubs known for bar fights, whiskey, and private rooms upstairs that are used for deals, collections, and hiding fugitives. The pub is also their rallying point when war breaks out. Well, that's led by Declan McLeod, which is portrayed by Drew McIntyre. You got the brawler, Cormac O'Shea, portrayed by Sheamus. You got the collector, the strategist, the brutal street killer, Royson O'Callaghan, portrayed by Becky Lynch. You have your pub fighters, lieutenants, and enforcers, Callum, Ewan, and Fergus O'Shaughnessy, portrayed by Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang of Gallus. I know they're not technically WWE, but come on now. And then you get your ghost-like, eerie silence-type killer in the shadows, Ronan Doyle, portrayed by Finn Balor. Then you have the Black Empire, right? They're at front, Empire Studio and Lounge, a swanky nightclub built with a built-in music studio and VIP rooftop bar. The lounge is legitimate, but the back studio handles laundering, digital crime, and encrypting messaging for other gangs. This is led by Marcus Jackson, also known as Trick, portrayed by Trick Williams. The tech and finance mastermind, Cam Jeffries, portrayed by Carmelo Hayes. You got Trey Morrison, the charmer, the street enforcer, portrayed by Montez Ford. You got Darnell West, also known as Dog. The quiet hitman, portrayed by Angelo Dawkins. You got Idi Adele, also known as Colossus, a physically unstoppable enforcer, portrayed by Omos. Luther Knox, the intimidation specialist, portrayed by Lucian Price. Ezekiel Nero also goes by Zeke, the young muscle of the group, portrayed by Bronco Nima. That's OTM, right? And then you got Jade Monroe, who runs the rackets. She's cunning. That's portrayed by Bianca Belair. Final group you have is the Iron Order, right? Their front is the Echelon Secure Storage, a chain of high-tech private self-storage facilities located throughout the city. Each unit has biometric access, zero surveillance, and VIP services for their discreet clientele. They smuggle weapons, smuggle and stash weapons, blackmail materials are hidden behind steel roll-ups and numbered lockers. To the outside world, it's a safe place to store valuables. To the Iron Order, it's the nerve center of their empire. This is run by Conrad Schaefer, portrayed by Gunther. The second in command, smooth talker Matthias Krueger, portrayed by Ludwig Kaiser. You have a British fixer and hitman in Dimitri Royce, portrayed by Wade Barrett. Ivana Petrova, the Russian tactician and seductress, portrayed by Lana. Milos Droganov, portrayed by Rusev. He's the heavy hitter, dangerous and wild. Then you have your cultic assassin who's unpredictable, Dorian Vanta Black, portrayed by Aleister Black. So you got the criminals, but what makes this fun is the law enforcement, right? So your head veteran cop is Detective Matthew O'Connor, portrayed by Seth Rollins. You have your corrupt precinct captain, Captain Vincent Graves, portrayed by Randy Orton. You have the clean-cut federal agent, Special Agent Marcus Steele, portrayed by John Cena. You have your brash, violent cop, Detective Jack Remington, portrayed by L.A. Knight. Here's where you get your first non-wrestler actor. That's Lieutenant Frankie Russo, a corrupt task force commander, portrayed by Mark Wahlberg. Then you get your Detective Lola Marquez, undercover vice, who uses seduction and has a lot of special ways to get information. That's portrayed by Liv Morgan. You have your city politicians. You have Mayor Victor Winters, the incumbent mayor who's dirty and powerful, portrayed by Nick Aldis. And then you have your background, you know, lesser characters, what we call outsiders or free agents, right? So you get Alina Mordigan, a bartender informant to the Celtic Brotherhood, portrayed by Lyra Valkyria. You got Savannah Winters, the mayor's daughter, who's a dangerous socialite, popular on social media, portrayed by Tiffany Stratton. You have Raven Lasco, an important character who floats between gangs as a tattoo artist, played by Rhea Ripley. Abasi Akande, a freelance bodyguard and security who floats between gangs, portrayed by Oba Femi. Chelsea Vaughn is an influencer who dates inside of the gang for the thrill, portrayed by Chelsea Green. You got arms dealers and neutral mercenaries. Brother Simon and Cal Adler, portrayed by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Our second non-wrestling actor is character Layla Cordy, former NSA turned hacker, portrayed by one of my favorite actresses that most people probably don't know about, Yasmin Al-Bustami, one of my favorite actors, or actresses, excuse me. And then our final character in the show is a special character, Malachi Reed. He goes by the name of Deep Street Preacher by day, sinner by night, and in the know with all the gangs, has multiple love interests, including Detective Marquez, Alina Morgan, Valera Montoya, Jade Monroe, Raven Lasco, and Layla Corey, portrayed by yours truly, We Too Deep. And so where the plot goes, there's a lot of different ways you could do this. Ultimately, so you could have it be like a battle of the gangs. You can have that the gang warfare sort of be like a background story behind the actual story, which could be the main character being my character. There's multiple different ways that you could run this show. But look, I took this very seriously. She asked James the same question, and this dude came out with a documentary that looked boring as shit. But let me know what y'all think of that TV show. And if Netflix or WWE is listening, give me a call. Let's talk. You can own the fucking show. I just want to be in it. I want to be a producer. I want to help write this shit. And I would just like some money. Let's make it. I think that works. Tell me what y'all think. All right. Let's do questions from the Discord real quick, and then we'll jump in. We'll do questions from the Discord. We'll do our final thought, and then we'll do bracket battles at the end of the show. So we get a question. Why do you think, or maybe I should learn to read, who do you think is the most over babyface and over heel right now from all three shows? Let's start with Raw. Most over babyface, I'm going to be honest with you, probably Penta. Penta gets a reaction every time he comes out. Most over heel, because I don't consider Dom a heel. He's like a tweener where he gets, I'm still going to go with Dom as the most over. He still gets heat. I'm going to be honest, there's not a lot of like heels that I consider good right now in wrestling. It's just all a bunch of cheap shit, right? We'll go to SmackDown, most over babyface. I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't watched enough of SmackDown to actually know how to answer this question. But most over heel, I'm going to say Naomi. Naomi, without a doubt, for me, Naomi is a top heel heel. It's just a shame that no one's actually watching her show. At least I don't watch it because the rest of the show is boring. And then from NXT, most over babyface. I think Trick is the most over heel right now. I don't think they've done a good enough job of promoting like an actual babyface that's the star of the show. In my opinion, Javon Evans was it, but they try kind of sort of turn him a little bit angsty. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that one. I feel like what WWE has done is sort of blurred the lines on who's a good guy, who's a bad guy. And everyone wants to be a heel now, but no one's good at being heels because no one's willing to do the work it takes to actually be a heel. Right. Next question. What was the most shocking moment so far from all of wrestling? I'm going to go with probably what could be seen as a cop-out answer, but the turning of John Cena, probably an event that none of us saw possible, especially in his go-home year. It started off pretty bad. It's getting pretty interesting. Not enough for me to watch, but it's better than what it was once you remove The Rock from it, like I said it would. But yeah, I think that was a shocking moment as it happened. And then last question, with WWE buying AAA and having a partnership with TNA, what company would you like to see do a collaboration with next? Can I be honest? I don't want to see another collaboration. Right now, where we're at, we'll probably have there's a partnership with Noah as well, which is why Inamora is on NXT. But what we have there, you have WWE Mainline USA. You got AAA with the Hispanic Mexican fan base, TNA with the less popular, more independent crowd, and then you have Noah with the Japanese audience. RevPro will never work with WWE. Plus, I don't think they really want to go into the UK European scene as much. I don't think there's really anyone, because everyone else is just straight indie, right? There's not a singular, I mean, MLW, but they're working with AEW. There's not another real big mainstream. Like, I don't want to see him work with GCW. I don't want to see him work with PWG. I think that all just, you know, indie bullshit. So I don't want to see any more collaborations. I think you got the biggest companies in the eras you want, or the segments of wrestling you want to build in. Use that, profit off of that, and move on with that, right? So, the last thing before we move into bracket battles to end the show, I want to talk about my final thought being, a lot of people are talking about WWE's Night of Champions this Saturday with the tension in the Middle East. They should cancel the show. They should postpone the show. They should move the show, right? And WWE's made it very clear. They're monitoring it, but we're moving full steam ahead, business as usual, right? But let's be honest, because I know I'm of the mindset they should probably cancel the show, right? But I'm not upset with the decision. Like, this was purely a business decision, and we're going to break down why this is a logistical nightmare if you're going to move the show at this point. Days away with an entire production team, ring crew, international flights, hotel blocks, security details, already locked in Saudi, teams already building the arena in Saudi, Tuesday night, you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, you have a show, Friday afternoon, actually, right? Here and right, and so you have SmackDown, then you have Night of Champions in Saudi, so you have people already there. This is a logistical nightmare that will be setting fire to millions of dollars in contracts, visas, and broadcast commitments. Right, this is a big deal. This isn't just some sort of house show on a European tour, this is Saudi Arabia. Reports that I saw say that if they move this weekend, they could risk losing about $50 million, right? That's a lot of money to just throw out the window for a situation that they're monitoring, right? Pulling back the plug means saying goodbye to a check with more zeros than Roman Reigns' title reign, right? But the question you have to ask at this point is that money, it's $50 million worth the risk if the situation in the Middle East continues to escalate? WWE has been here before. They've weathered criticism for these Saudi shows every single year. Human rights issues, Jamal Khashoggi, women's rights, you name it, right? But this right here is different. This isn't moral optics. This isn't grandstanding. This isn't white knighting. This is actual security risk, global conflict, potential strikes. I don't see a strike happening, I'll be honest with you, because that's why you don't unionize up wrestling, because then a strike would happen. But, and while WWE does have private security, and the Saudi government is undoubtedly going to do everything you're going to try to do to protect the show, and Iran would be really, really idiotic to launch a bomb or any type of rocket towards the royal family, who has more money than anybody has business having, who could wipe Iran off the planet if they wanted to. You can never really guarantee safety within this violent, volatile region of the world. So fans like me and you are asking, is the show worth it? But this seems like a move Vince and now Endeavor would make. Take the risk, chase the reward, keep the machine running. But if something goes wrong, $50 million is not even enough money to pay for the backlash WWE would face. Legal, ethical, and PR fallout would be catastrophic. So it might be business as usual on paper. But if this powder keg explodes, WWE's business as usual could turn into one of the biggest black eyes in the company's history. I'm going to keep watching. Like I said, I don't even know if I'm going to watch the event, right? But I'm sure WWE really is monitoring it, right? I think if it gets dangerous enough, they will pull the plug, right? I'm going to keep here sitting hoping nothing happens. But I don't think Dominic Mysterio is actually hurt. I think either him or AJ Styles pulled the plug on this match. I'm leaning towards AJ Styles. That he's not willing to take the risk anymore of going to that place. Right? And so you remove the match. Right? So we'll see what happens. Let's just hope that this doesn't blow up in WWE's face as a bad decision. With that being said, let's turn over to bracket battles. So last week's winners were Voices, Randy Orton. They were I just had this pulled up. Where the hell did it go? You had Voices, you had Break the Walls Down, you had Cult of Personality, and you had Head of the Table. That was last week's quarterfinals. Now we're in the quarterfinals on the other side of the bracket. We're down to a 4-on-1 bracket. We're going to come down to 4 after this week on the other side of the bracket. We'll be at the final 8. First matchup, Chris Benoit's whatever versus MVP's I'm Coming. Next matchup, Kane, Slow Chemical versus Sting, Seek and Destroy. Next matchup, Cena's Thugonomics versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, I Won't Do What You Say. And then finally, Undertaker, Rest in Peace versus Batista, I Walk Alone. Who hits to the final 8 on this vote? Tune in next week as we do join the final 8, and we'll see where this goes. With that being said, we're getting closer and closer to finishing this bracket. You can vote in the Discord. which again, that link is in the description. My name's Wee Too Deep. I do thank you all for listening to this episode. I'm sorry that there's not a lot to talk about. You know, we typically go an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, and we were just at the hour mark, and I tried to stretch this out as long as I possibly can. There's just not a lot to talk about in wrestling for me, right? I've lost interest. I'm not, you know, a lot of the stuff is boring to me. If you enjoy it, more pleasure to you. I wish I was in that position, but yeah, I just, thanks for tuning in. We're going to get through this. On Friday, we'll do another deep five. I think Wavy D has a topic for me. We'll do that one on Friday, as well as our predictions for Night of Champions. If you haven't yet, put your Night of Champions predictions in to the Discord as well, continuing that bracket or that tournament for who has the most predicted right. And I'm looking forward to that. But until the next episode on Friday, my name's Wee Too Deep. This is the Slap of Me Wrestling Podcast, and I will see you on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slap and Meet Wrestling every Tuesday.